he would touch it just that way in the years ahead when contemplating some big decision. The biggest might have been the one to sever Tet's connection with IBM, a company that had shown an ever-increasing willingness to do business with North Central Positronics. Or preparing for some covert action, the firebombing of Sombra Enterprises in New Delhi, for instance, in the year before he died. The cross spoke to Moses Carver and never spoke again in Cullum's presence, no matter how much he blew on it. But sometimes, drifting to sleep with his hand clasped around it, he would think, "'Tis a sigil. Tis a sigil, dear, something that came from another world." If he had regrets toward the end, other than about some of the tricks, which were filthy indeed and cost more than one man his life, it was that he never got a chance to visit the world on the other side, which he glimpsed one stormy evening on Turtleback Lane in the town of Lovell. From time to time, Roland Sigel sent him dreams of a field filled with roses and a sooty black tower. Sometimes he was visited by terrible visions of two crimson eyes floating unattached to anybody and relentlessly scanning the horizon. Sometimes there were dreams in which he heard the sound of a man relentlessly winding his horn. From these latter dreams he would awake with tears on his cheeks, those of longing and loss and love. He would awake with his hand closed around the cross, thinking, "I denied Discordia and regret nothing. I have spat into the bodiless eyes of the Crimson King and rejoice. I threw my lot with the gunslinger's quartet and the white, and never once questioned the choice." Yet for all that, he wished he could have walked out just once into that other land, the one beyond the door.